13. Tonight we're going to look at one verse. We've actually done that the last several weeks. And that verse this evening is verse number 7. Speaking about charity, in verse 4 he started. He said, "Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." That's what charity does. Now you'll probably notice that there were two words that repeated four times in that verse. And the two words are all things. It's not some things. It's not most things. It says all things. So far we have looked at 11 characteristics of charity. This will be the last four of the characteristics that are mentioned here in verse number 7. Now when you look at this, we realize the love of God is really far beyond what is possible according to our own human nature. And we'll see here, especially in these four, at least I think that. Now, none of us are able to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, or endure all things on our own. The problem isn't the bearing. We can bear some things. It's not the believing. We can believe most things, or hoping, or enduring. You know what the problem is? It's that all things. That's the part of that verse that is difficult. Of our own, we can manage some things. Maybe you can manage most things. But we can't deal with all things apart from the agape love of God. When somebody says to somebody, for whatever reason, who knows why, "I'm just done." Maybe at that moment, they just really don't love that person for whatever reason. Maybe they've had a moment where that's enough, I've had it, and I just, and for there's a glimpse of, right now I'm not really happy with you, and right now I really don't love you. Yet the all things kind of a love that's mentioned here in verse 7, the love that comes to us from God and is then shown through us to others. Now this is really important. Because people won't come to God unless they see the love of God lived in our lives, in our relationship with other people. We don't bring people to spiritual maturity apart from the love of God. People need to know that God loves them, and they need to know that we love them. We need to encourage them, and we need to challenge them, and we need to love them in all things. Now, the word "all" is the word that makes it difficult. But with God, nothing is impossible. So we can do this. There's a laundry soap. I read this, by the way. I don't know a lot much about laundry soap. But I don't know why somebody put a story in an article about laundry soap. But there was a laundry soap called All. That's still on the market today? All, okay, good. Anyways, supposedly when it first came out, it did it all. It cleaned everything. And then they came out with a brand new All. They had a stain lifter, had two times the cleaning power. But isn't it kind of odd that if it was all already, why did they have to improve on it? Then they had all oxy-action. That removed green grass, ice cream, and it removed blood. And now there is the all smart and mighty with three times the cleaning power. So they started out with all, then they got two times the cleaning power, and now they got three times the cleaning power. Maybe it would have been more accurate to call that stuff sometimes instead of all. So when he tells us all things, God means every time, every place, every person, every circumstance, every situation, every case, we can love all things. You say, "Now, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, let's just look at this. Go back to verse 7, talking about charity. The first thing it says is it beareth all things. Now, the word beareth in this text, really, and most people interpret it this way, it is not to carry something like a burden or produce something like a fruit, like you talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The word that Paul used here under inspiration of the Holy Spirit refers to a roof or a covering for a structure. So what God is saying in this, in bearing all things in our relationships, that some things that should be covered. In other words, there are some things that are personal and ought not be made public. There are some failures that ought not to be discussed. There are some weaknesses that just don't need to be addressed because it won't do any good. It won't do anybody any good. So it beareth all things. It covers some things. Now, that does not mean that we enable people or we enable people to continue to do wrong. Sin must be dealt with, but it must be dealt with appropriately. However, those who are not part of the solution do not need to be part of the problem. And those who aren't part of the solution really do not need to receive any information concerning the problem or concerning the issue. They don't need any information at all. Well, Pastor, I just want to tell them so they'll pray about it. Yeah, right. I don't buy that. However, it is human nature. It just is. It's human nature to just want to know or to just want to tell every little detail. But that is not really wholesome. And it's not really a charity love that beareth all things. Now, I want you to go to the book of Proverbs with me. I probably don't need to do that. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 10. Now, let me show you what, there's four Proverbs I want to look, three Proverbs I want to look at, and then a verse in Peter I'll quote you. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He's not going to tell everybody. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. It doesn't need to be repeated. It needs to be covered. In 1 Peter 4:8, Peter wrote, and above all things have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, sometimes people criticize decisions pastors make or other leaders make, but they never really stop to think that they don't have all the facts. Now, they don't have all the information. And one of the things that pastors, at least the ones that I know, try not to do is to give all the facts or to give all the information because they don't want to be accused of being a gossip, and they don't want to be a gossip either. Because we love people, we are going to seek to cover transgressions rather than advertise transgressions. No one hangs their dirty laundry outside for people to see. Usually, remember back in the day we all had clotheslines? My mom. I say some weird words. Anyway, my mom hung our clothes out on the clothesline year round. If it was zero, she always put our clothes outside on the clothesline. They weren't hung up on the front lawn. They were in the back lawn. They froze dried, she said. If that's true or not, I got no idea. But I'll tell you what they did do. They sure did smell good. You cannot beat a laundry that's hung outside. But you never hang them out front, and you never put dirty laundry on the clothesline, unless it's your kid's swimming towel, which probably isn't that dirty. But that's, you know, we don't need to do some of these things, and we love people. When you love people with agape love, you're not going to go around gossiping about them. Most have a desire to tell. Most have a desire to talk, but charity seeks to cover the transgression. You know, it's a blessing when a relationship maybe once had a problem it's dealt with and the matter is settled. It should not be brought up again. Shouldn't be brought up next week. Shouldn't be brought up next month. Shouldn't be brought up next year. Even if the same type of offense is committed. It just isn't, but why not? Because of love. When you love someone, you do not seek to embarrass them. You do not seek to expose their weaknesses. Did you ever hear somebody say this? I suppose I used to do this. I just tell it like it is. Or maybe they say, I just call it the way I see it. You know, that's not really very agape love. Can I ask you something? Why call it out loud? Why not keep it to yourself? Well, I got to get it off my chest. Okay. Tell it to Jesus. Listen, getting things off your chest may briefly make you feel better, but it can be very destructive and it can be very unloving. So if you need to tell somebody, tell the someone who hears and understands and loves no matter what. Charity seeks to cover the failures of others, not to flaunt them. Now, charity is not oblivious to the failures and weaknesses of sins and of others, but it doesn't trumpet them, because Paul said, it beareth all things. Then it says, in this verse 7, it believeth all things. Now, what in the world is this? It believes all things. Does 2 plus 2 equal 5? You believe me? I believe 2 plus 2 is 5. You believe that?
No.
No, you don't believe that. So God is not calling us to be gullible here. He's calling us to be and remain confident in his ability to change any situation, to change any person at any time, because we believe that God can do that. It believes all things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that Christians really, when you start thinking about this, really believe that. That there are some people that they think are unredeemable, I guess. Now, what that means in relation to others is this. No matter what they do, no matter what happens in their lives, as long as there is breath in their lungs and their heart's still beating, we can have confidence that God can still change their life. You say, how come you say all people don't believe that? I'll get that a little bit. But people need our faith. That's our believing all things. If we believe in them, it offers hope to people who desperately need it. I want you to take your Bible to Acts chapter 9. I called a young man yesterday. He was kind of on my heart. So I called him. And I said, how you doing? I hadn't seen you in a while. Oh, I cry every day. This is bad, that's bad, the other thing is bad. So I said, well, let's logically take a look at this. Who quit school? Well, I did. Who got himself in trouble and ended up in prison? I did. Something else, and I did. You know what you did? I said, you got to take responsibility. These are all bad decisions that you made in your life. But he says, let me tell you what Paul said about that. And you read it earlier in Philippians chapter 3. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, you press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when I said Christ Jesus, he said, amen, just like that. He's got to let go of that. Then I said, you know what? I believe in you. I believe that God can change your life and get a hold of your life. But you got to stop making bad decisions. You just can't keep, you got to follow the word of God. Some of these things, how do you tell somebody nicely? All your injuries are self-inflicted. Because it's pretty much are. They're self-inflicted. But God can change them. Now, I believe that. And I tried to encourage him with that. And where he lives, in a town over from us, there's a good Baptist church. In fact, it's in Utica. And I said, I'm going to call my youngest son and see if he'll pick you up and bring you to church. You go to church with him and start living for the Lord. But you want to see an illustration of this. It's in Acts chapter 9, in verse 26 and 27. Saul of Tarsus has been converted to Christ. He had been vicious to the churches. You know that. Verse 26, if I can find it, says this. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But I like the next verse. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now the church at Jerusalem, they would not receive Paul because of his past. I'm quite sure that they thought this has got to be a ploy of Saul. So he's going to come in here, he'll figure out who the leaders are, and he'll have them arrested. But then Barnabas enters the scene, and he demonstrates charity in action. He demonstrates this truth. believeth all things. He believed, Barnabas believed, that God could take Saul of Tarsus and use him for his glory. How would you like to be a Barnabas and disciple somebody like Paul? Even when nobody else believed in Paul, Barnabas did. And it made all the difference in the world. When you and I love someone with the love of Christ, we must believe that God can do all things. So it says, believing all things. You know what that does? That helps us keep going forward. It helps us stay the course. When people have setbacks, it keeps us going forward. Because we look forward to the day when they get things right and they really don't have these major setbacks anymore. Believing that God can and God will work. Now you think about Barnabas again. He believed God could change Paul. Paul was a murderer. Paul was a persecutor. Paul was a home wrecker. That's what Paul was. You say, and I think God can change anybody. Now let's get to where we live. Could God change a murderer? Well, he did Paul and Moses and David. What if a known murderer walked through the doors of our church? Would you look at him and say, but God can change him? Is that how you'd look at him? We ought to. If we believe all things, what about some other criminal comes in here? What about a rapist? Can God change him? What about any, whatever you think of, some sexual deviant person? Can God change him? God can change him. It believeth all things. But I would almost guarantee that some of those people you'd keep an eye on. I probably would keep an eye on it myself. The next one, hopeth all things. Charity hopes all things. What is hope? Hope here is to wait with joy and full confidence and to trust. You know what love does not do? Love doesn't give up. It hopes all things. Someone said, when you get to the end of the rope, you know what the best thing for you to do is? Tie a knot and hang on. That's right. You hang on to that hope no matter what. If you can find the book of Ruth, it's Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Look at the first chapter. This is quite an illustration of this. Somewhere between Judges and 1 Samuel is Ruth. There it is. People who are away from God need people who are close to God that have hope. Let me read a few verses first. Verse 12. Turn again, my daughters. The story, Naomi's husband died. Ruth had lost her husband. The other girl had lost her husband. It was just a mess. And Naomi was in terrible way. She says, turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Now there's a person with no hope. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. I got to mention this because I need some lady here to help me with this. Barb Allen called me today. You know Barb, brittle bones and all that stuff. Well, she's just down. I mean down. She's lower than a snake's belly. That's low. And if one of you ladies could make a visit to her, or maybe a bunch of you get together. Mel, is there any cards in our office? Get a card and a bunch of you sign the thing and send it to her. She's home. She's lonely. They want to put her in a nursing home. She doesn't want to go in a nursing home. And she was about crying when she called me, left a message. I called her back. But she just needs hope because this is exactly what she said. I don't want to doubt my faith. But I feel my, I'm doubting. I'm beginning to doubt my faith. So you put it on your prayer list for tonight, by the way, also. But here's a poor lady that needs hope. You know what she needs? She sees somebody to go by and offer her some hope. And she's really, she's not, doesn't have any. Well, people who are like her need people who are close to God to come alongside of them. And even though Naomi was hopeless, Ruth wasn't hopeless. Ruth had confidence in the God of Israel, even though she was in Moab, which probably, ultimately, if we studied the whole book, we would say maybe they should not have been there to begin with. Verse 16. And Ruth said, speaking to her mother-in-law Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Now, then she said in verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Now, as long as there is a God in heaven, there is hope. It doesn't matter what your circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what your difficulties you face are. Love keeps hoping until the hope is realized. Naomi thought hope was all gone, but God had other plans, didn't he? Ruth caught the eye of Boaz. You can read the story later, but they fell in love, and then they got married. They had a son, Obed, and he had a son, Jesse, and he had a son, David. And David became a mighty king in Israel. And he is the ancestor of Jesus. And Jesus eventually will sit on the seat of David. You see, Ruth never lost her hope. Naomi lost her hope. Ruth didn't. Charity holds on to hope. The last thing it says in verse 7, and it's our 15th character trait, charity endures all things. Now, when you read the testimonies of the great saints of God, I'm going to read one here in a moment, there are times when they didn't enjoy life, but they endured life. They just kept going. By the way, or as you say on your text, FYI, God doesn't owe us a soft and easy life. That is foreign to the Bible. Paul wrote to Timothy and said this, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Endure means to hold fast, even during trials and hardships, because charity endures. And so here's a story of a guy, although he didn't live long, so he didn't have to endure long, he did endure. His name is John Hunt. He was born in England in the early 1800s. He was called to the mission field and sailed with his wife and family to Fiji. Now, we happen to have a missionary family, Paul Deku, that we support in Fiji. Paul's there in 2000. This guy was there in the early 1800s. And so the story says the island at the time was inhabited by cannibals. Hunt determined that he would translate the word of God into their language so that he could effectively preach the gospel to them. Just a few months after they arrived, Hunt's young son died. And at the funeral, the natives mocked, saying, "Is this your God? How could your God let your son die?" They hated John Hunt. They told him to leave and they would kill him and eat him. To try and force him to move, listen to this. They moved their cooking pot into his yard. They boiled and ate their victims right outside of his door. How'd you like to wake up in the morning and seeing somebody have some? I mean, you know, this is bizarre. Yet God had given Hunt a supernatural love for the natives of Fiji. I bet Paul's glad he's not there now. In his biography, A Missionary Among Cannibals, or The Life of John Hunt, George Stringer Rowe wrote that Hunt's love for the natives grew in proportion to their hate. In his diary, Hunt wrote, "I am determined to be spent in trying to do these people good until God shall remove me from them." Later he wrote, "We seem to labor in vain, but faith could never come to such a conclusion." I like that quote. Hunt adopted the motto, "Press onward." For several years, he ministered without any results. Then the natives decided to attack the ship that Hunt was using to travel. Nearly 100 of the cannibals approached the ship on their little boats when they were supernaturally stopped. Later one said, "We don't know why we could not mount that ship, but we could not kill the missionary." Soon their chief received Christ as a savior, and a great revival broke out. Hundreds came to Christ. Hunt was able to translate most of the New Testament before his death at 36 years of age. And though he died young, his testimony and the seeds of the gospel that he planted were used of God to eradicate cannibalism and to reach thousands of Fijians for Christ. I wonder how much ministry success is missed because we don't love people enough to endure all things. You know, it's not natural to endure things like that. It's supernatural. It's the outpouring of God's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of God. Charity seeks the harvest because charity bears all things and believeth all things and hopeth all things and endureth all things. I can't endure, I can't believe, I can't hope, I can't do any of those four things on my own. It has to be supernatural. It's the agape love of God. Father, this is a tremendous verse of scripture, and I pray that you would use it to transform our lives, to always have hope, hope in others, to bear their transgressions, to make a covering like a roof. Like Proverbs says, so you know, we don't gossip. We don't tell everybody every little vice or every little sin or every little thing that happens in people's lives. Not only just the little ones, but especially the bigger ones as we see them. And God, help us to incorporate all four of these truths into our life. And as we go forward for you, as the missionary made a motto, we ought to as well press onward. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, we got missionary letters. If you get a missionary letter at the